Following show contains spoilers for the film Freaks, so if you haven't seen Freaks and you don't want it to get spoiled, turn back now.
You better get away from my house, or I'm gonna melt all your brains with my freak powers!
Hello, everybody. My name is Jeff, and this is our show, the Film Rap Podcast.
Yes,
and I'm here
it's
with
just Film Rap, but yes, the Film Rap, the podcast.
And who are you? Who are you?
They call me Dan in some circles. Others, Dirty Dan. Sometimes, maybe, occasionally.
And your mom calls you Dan Ito.
We don't talk about that. Right.
All right. So on this show, we're just going to talk about and review movies that we saw. That's why we call it a film rap. We're just like reviewing it, wrapping it up, you know? So
yeah,
Dan,
no
I just want to ask you, I'm going to ask you, Dan, about the movie we saw.
Right. So the movie we're going to discuss and that we watched recently is called Freaks. Came out in 2018, and it was written and directed by Zach Lipovsky, I believe. I don't know. That's what
sounds
it sounds
like,
it looks. Yeah. And Adam Stein, S-T-E-I-N. And I just want to also say, if you haven't seen this movie and you've been wanting to watch it, you should probably stop the podcast and go watch it, because it's kind of hard to talk about this film without spoilers. It's just the way that it was constructed, it'll ruin it for you. Trust me, I don't like spoilers normally, but if someone told you about this movie, I would stab them in the eye.
Yeah, this is a movie. This is definitely a movie you don't want to know anything about, really. Like, I think that going in without any knowledge is better. It's just
yes.
That kind of movie. So, I did not know anything about this movie. Dan was the one that suggested that we see this movie. And
yeah,
I just want to say, I am glad that you did.
So I didn't know anything about this movie either. I didn't watch any trailers. I didn't look it up. My dad told me that he's like, oh, I saw that Freaks. It's pretty good. I thought it was about like a bullying movie. So I was like, nah. I saw Cyberbully once. I think I'm fine. And then I can't remember why I saw it. I was just like, I might as well watch it. And I'm glad I saw it, because going in without knowing anything is really what made this film so good. You know, it's like you find out Bruce Willis is dead the whole time. You're like, whoa, it's kind of like one of those things.
Yeah. 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 I was pleasantly surprised. So like, you know, good. Dan gets points for choosing this movie. It's a good recommendation. I'm glad we didn't have to sit through a painfully boring or bad movie, because I will say right off the bat that I enjoyed this film.
Yeah, it was a fun movie to watch. So let's go ahead and dive into the film. So it starts off, I don't know, man. It was weird. I thought it was like a post-apocalyptic movie, right? Because what we see is the dude's house, and it's like hoarders, but empty, right? It's just crap. They have loads of money on the table. They're eating from cans. So I thought this was, oh, this is a post-apocalyptic movie. Okay, I'm into that. What'd you think the first part of the movie?
Yeah, the way it opens, it's like in a house, like an abandoned house, and like a little girl is like looking through a window, and then her dad gets, or you assume it's her dad, and she's like he gets angry at her for looking through the window. So
yeah, and it was a weird relationship. I'm glad that you said that you assume it's her dad, because at first, to me anyways, it didn't seem like there was much of a connection.
So
it seemed distant. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is, like, whenever, like, the opening scene, I thought that this movie was either going to be, like, outside is poison or something like that, or, and, or that this, like, this guy was hiding her, like he had abducted her, and it was going to be, like, one of those types of movies where, like, he's trying to hide because he abducted this girl for some reason.
And I like that they did that, so... I like that they show you information, like, bits and pieces of information instead of dumping it. Because they could have opened, like, World War Z with just, a montage of news. And then, I don't know, hey, Dad, I love you, Dad, right off the first 5 minutes. But they don't do that. They do show you, like, that they hang out. But it's not enough to kind of, like, know what's going on. It had that creepy vibe.
Yeah, I like that too. Like, it doesn't just dump a bunch of information on you, because then it's no fun. It's like, oh yeah, like this movie definitely takes its time to lay down its cards.
Yeah, and I think the cinematography as well. Since we're talking about laying down cards, I think it was pretty good. It, to me, I don't know if you got the same vibe. To me, it looks like a pretty cheaply made movie, but it also seems like because they didn't have the big budget, they kind of had to put their best foot forward. They do a lot of, like, low camera angles. But at first I thought it was like they were trying to talk about the characters, right? Trying to show that they were powerful or something. But then they do it to almost everyone, so I'm starting to think that it's just something they like. But that didn't distract me. Like,
yeah.
I think that was fine.
I'm sure there was intent with those low angle shots, you know. I think especially considering it being from, like, the little girl's perspective in certain scenes,
right?
Not every scene probably. I also agree that it kind of had like a low budget almost feel to it, but at the same time they did good with what they had, and they had good actors in this movie. So
yeah,
do you
really
know,
they sell their performances, like all of them, like even the little girl. Normally when kids are in movies, like, kind of like, I'm about it.
Yeah.
But in this one, I think, I mean, she wasn't great, but I think she was good.
Do you, have the cast list up that we can tell our audience who's
so
in this film?
Emily Hirsch.
Emile Hirsch.
Daughter. Yeah. Emile Hirsch.
The Bruce, dad.
Oh, the dad. Oh, yeah, because it's Emil, not Emily. Bruce Dern, Grace Park, Amanda Crew, and Lexi Colker is who I have on here. Yeah, I think the casting was pretty good. It was good. So since we're going to talk about the technical parts of it, the one part that I really like is what they did with color. So whenever we're, I guess, in the real world, what her dad's doing and all that, the colors are kind of muted and they're toned down. And there's also, like, a lot of blue hue around. I thought that was interesting because when we see her, I thought that was, like, the whole movie, right? Until we see her looking at the book she gets from the ice cream truck she sees outside, which I thought was weird, man. So the first time I saw that ice cream truck out there, I was like, wow, that truck's been out there for like 3 days, man. There's no way an ice cream truck could be out there that long. What did you think when you were seeing that? Because I know for sure it was at least 2 days.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought whenever I first saw it. Other than it's felt like there was some like creepy, like sinister under or overtones, you know, I don't know the right word.
It was creepy is definitely one of the right words. Cause so the first time I remember seeing the ice cream truck, there was no sound, like everything was empty and there was no one in the ice cream truck, which made me like, oh, post-apocalyptic, right? The world's abandoned. That's why you can't go outside. But then is when her dad falls asleep and she gets that book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's when the color comes to the world, which was, I thought was cool, because that's when, even then, man, it didn't click. So this is like a huge spoiler. If you haven't seen it, again, stop the podcast, go look at it. So to me, it didn't click that the dad was stopping time. Like, it took me a long, maybe I'm just dumb, but so at this part, with the ice cream truck, I can't remember why he fell asleep, but I know he fell asleep and it's daytime outside.
Cause he was tired. He was just straight up tired.
Yeah. It must have been. Oh, and I think he had gone to get groceries too, right?
At one point he does do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was go ahead. Tired. So now this, to me, that's whenever you see the color in the world, the ice cream truck's active, people outside, which then made me, that threw me off. Cause then I was like, well, there's people outside. The world seems fine. So I don't get it. And I didn't get that he was stopping time yet.
No, and you're right, because the first time I watched it, I did not know this either. It took me probably till like midway in the film that they do something like they like show like a force bubble, like some type of thing, when he wakes up, and then I'm like, okay, there's something going on. I didn't know that he was stopping time. You don't really know that he's doing that. I mean, I watched the second time around. It's cool watching like a movie like this again, because
like with hindsight,
there's hints at the beginning of the film and throughout the film, and like once you know the mystery behind it, you know like why everything's happening. But like the first time around, I didn't know like that he was stopping time at the house. So but the trick is that he has to be awake because he has powers. These people that are living in this abandoned house, Emil Hirsch and this little girl who's his daughter, they have powers and they're hiding out. They're hiding out from the world.
And I thought I like that they did that. I appreciate that instead of just them telling me, like, you know, I'm not going to say X-Men, but X-Men, like, this is his power. You kind of see it working without knowing what it is.
Exactly.
Like I didn't. Yeah. Cause I think for me, it was also about, I think it was, I don't want to say when there's a point when he passes out, I think in the kitchen from a gunshot.
Yeah.
Right. Was it a gunshot or what was it? I remember he,
it was a gunshot.
Yeah. So he passes out and I see like I think that's where you see the bubble. I don't remember if that's when, but, I do think that's when it was like, oh, something. I started to put the puzzles together. I was like, okay, so he's. I thought it was a force field. I was like, oh, so he's making like a force field around the house, but it didn't click that it was time again because they don't make it super obvious.
No, they don't. See, like I just knew that there was like the dad was a freak. That's the only thing that I knew after like midway through the film, whenever he woke up from the gunshot wound. And like he like wakes up and he's like, ah, and then like the lights like either turn off or on.
They turn on. Like, yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
And so like I didn't know that he was stopping time, but I knew that he was also a freak.
Right. And what's cool is I don't know if you caught this, but at the beginning I didn't know what they meant by freaks.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think mutant wasn't one of those things that popped in my head. But yeah, it is that part when he passes out, what they do is they show you the birds outside and then they start moving and then the light turns on, which I think is kind of cool that they made the light kind of into that. Cause I mean, if you're stopping time, technically no light should work, but they had lights sometimes. So I don't know. I mean,
Obviously, that's
a plot hole, right? There shouldn't be any lights, but there is. But it's enough to where, like, I can forgive them for that. Shoot. I mean, they need lighting anyway. And there's probably, maybe there's, like, LED lights work when time stops. And
the one thing I want to say about this film is consider here, I have something written down. Give me a second.
Yeah.
I wrote this down yesterday. The story/writing of this movie is airtight. Few, if any, plot holes, which is impressive because a movie with this kind of concept, that can be easy to do. I feel like that there was not very many plot holes. I think that the story and all the like powers, everything kind of fell into place and made sense. Like there wasn't really much that you can say like didn't, like the logic of the film, I think, held up pretty well.
Right. I mean, with sci-fi, there's always, you can always like, you know, poke things in it. But I think the way that they told the story was just so smooth that if there was any, like, plot holes, I was enjoying the ride so much that I kind of just... It's like when you're in a roller coaster and your seatbelt doesn't tighten all the way, but you had, like, a blast. You're like, ah, who cares about the seatbelt? Like, one of those things.
Yeah. I'm sure if you thought about it, like, really deeply and, like, we, like, really get into it, maybe we could find some things. Like, you mentioned the lights... But
yeah,
what'd you think
about the scene when she first gets to go outside?
Yeah,
to me, I thought that was a pretty big moment in the film. Like I think that's when it goes for me anyways to a different chapter of what's going to happen.
Yeah, she like leaves the house. She's obviously like curious about the outside world. She's like looking through the windows. That's an important scene because she goes to the ice cream truck and meets another important character in the story, Bruce Dern's character.
Yeah, and this part, man, I thought this was going to take like a super dark turn because it was creepy. To me, this was like the creepiest. Get in the truck. Come on, get inside. Take a look around. Like, I was like, no, kid, don't do it. This is not good idea.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like the thing.
Or something.
It's like when Pennywise is in the gutter and he's like got like the balloon. There's just like something sinister about like the
something sinister about an older man telling a little kid to get inside his truck.
That's like don't take candy from strangers, you know, like that's like the number one rule. Gosh,
right? And man, I when she got in there, I was like, well, this is it. I thought it was gonna be like he's gonna go after her or something. I don't know what I thought, man. But that park scene where they have later on, like, okay, so I'm trying to remember at this point, I think I remember she had seen the girl, her neighbor, right? Already once.
Neighbor girl. Wait,
before I forget, okay, this is really, I really like this part. So earlier in the movie, she has like all these crazy drawings of a ghost, and it's cool because they spelled it G-O-S-T, and I mean, her dad's the only teacher, so it makes sense that she's not that good at writing. But she kept drawing like this the girl from The Ring, kind of, right? And and you keep seeing her in the closet and yelling. Dude, to me that was intense. And then later on when you realize, oh, that's her mom and she's visiting her like through this astral dimensional plane type of thing, I thought that was a really cool way to like give us bite size of what was gonna be revealed.
It seems like it's like a hallucination, and like I kept thinking that like the things that were happening at the beginning of the movie were like some sort of hallucinations. It seems almost dreamlike. There's a point she's looking out the window at the ice cream truck, and there's a girl that lives across the street. She's like, "Bring me ice cream, bring me ice cream." And the girl grabs like an ice cream cone and brings it to her. It's like it seems very surreal.
Yeah, and I thought that was a cool way, too, of because that was the first hint that she had powers, even though to me it didn't click yet.
But you don't know that watching it the first time. I didn't have any idea.
Right? That was what it was? But I thought it was cool because, so I always wonder, like, how do you find out, if I'm a superhero, how do I find out? And the girl that's been in the house locked up who wants ice cream, telling someone else, come on, please, bring me ice cream. It makes sense, because I know I tried to use the force before, right? Like, come on, move, just a little bit. And so she's basically doing that same thing, and it looks like a coincidence that she came, but obviously it's not. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that part up, too, about the bring me ice cream. I thought that was really cool. And then she does it again with the cop, remember that?
Yeah, okay, so whenever this little girl that's stuck in this house with her dad gets to the outside world, she actually goes up to this ice cream truck and she goes into the ice cream truck with the old man, and they go to a park, and this is the first like obvious sign of that she has powers is they're at the park and a police officer approaches them.
Yeah.
And she makes him go away. Like he's about to, he like has his gun drawn on the old man, and she makes him go away.
Like, and that part was pretty intense too, because it looked like he was like messing with her. I get it now, right? He was trying to get her to use her powers.
Yeah. I thought Bruce Dern was so good in this movie. What did I write down? Because I think he's a really good actor, and yeah. Here's what I wrote. I said, Bruce Dern is also excellent. I think he brings a unique half crazy flair to his role that is amusing to watch. So his acting is really good, and like he seems like just like a little bit crazy, but also I believed his performance a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he did a really good job at playing the crazy grandpa, because I mean he definitely came off as insane for until the end of the movie, but not once did it look like he was faking insanity. It looked like insanity was part of who he was, which I just to clarify, he's not insane. It's just the predicament that he's in. He's desperate to do what he wants to do, which is rescue his daughter.
That's what this, so for context, grandpa is using, basically knows where the little girl lives and knows that she's has powers and he's trying to break his daughter out of this, high security prison because his daughter
was arrested.
and his granddaughter are all freaks, and basically freaks are
they're X-Men. This is to me, this is like the movie that X-Men should have made a long time ago.
Yeah, no, you're, right. That's a good observation.
It seems like a little more down to earth. If powers happened, I think this is how it would happen. So I think it's interesting that they're trying to take, because that mountain that you're talking about, what's it called? It's like
Magic Mountain. Like they Matic call it Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. Magic Mountain. I think it's a different place. Yeah. What's interesting is they don't tell you a bunch, right, about what's going on, but they do tell you enough to know that being a freak is like illegal. And they're trying to put them all in this one place. And what's interesting is, they skipped all that other political BS that they tried to do with X-Men because it's dragged out and boring, right? We start off here at the point to where it's already bad. Like, they're already dangerous. And what's cool, too, is that they proved that point with that little girl, man. I don't know if you caught that or if maybe I'm making it up.
About the freaks being dangerous.
Yeah, with the little girl, yeah.
Yeah. There's the thing is they're basically considered too dangerous to live in society, and they crack down on them and like basically hunt them down and kill them. They're like, yeah, it is very similar to X-Men, and you're right. And so, there is like a, so the grandpa comes up with a plan because there is a federal agent who wants to basically get these freaks when they're little kids and like train them to
be soldiers,
be like, yeah, and like use them as like weapons of mass destruction, basically, right. Like basically so use them for their own means.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I think if today we had, you know, people find out that I have superpowers, the first thing that's going to happen is I'm not going to get arrested. I think they would take me in and like, show me what you've got, and then try and get me to like do my powers and see if it's useful for the military.
Exactly. So
that part does make sense. And I think what happens is, and this is why I like that they didn't explain it, because I can make up my own backstory. It seems like what happens is everyone got their powers all of a sudden. And I mean, if they're distributed evenly, there's going to be bad people with powers. They abuse those powers, and they go, the easiest way to take care of this is to crack down on anyone with powers.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, that grandpa's that idea that he had was crazy, man. I really like that, the way that they did that scene too. So, he gives her that medicine, right, to give her to her dad, and then you go ahead and explain it.
Yeah, he wants to. Because he knows that whenever her dad wakes up and finds out that she's been leaving the house, that he's going to come looking for her. So, and the other thing is the dad that is using like a time force field to slow down time. So every time they're inside of the house and he's awake, but the thing is he, like, obviously he has to be awake to be using his powers. Whenever he goes asleep, the world goes back to normal speed. And so that's one of the things is in the film,
the world's
wife,
always at normal speed.
Huh?
The world's always at normal speed. It's just his bubble that he creates is slowed down.
It's, yeah, inside of it. And so time, like, him and his daughter have been living inside of the time bubble for like several years.
Yeah, I think it's seven years, because I think that's how old she is. And yeah, go ahead.
And it makes sense because, like, why the girl wants to leave is because she's literally, the dad is really, like, kind of crazy in the movie. And the daughter is, like, really wants to be with her mom and, like, wants to, like, be outside and, like talk and see other people. And she's actually, like, kind of, like, a little bit neurotic, too. It's because it's just been them two in this house for, like, 7 years. But yeah, the thing is on the outside world, it's only been, like, a month since
Which I thought was crazy, dude. That part, when they revealed it, I don't know why I didn't. Like, I didn't think, like, well, time distortion, so naturally she's been there for a long time. I didn't even think about it until finally. Who is it that talks about it first? It's the mom, right? She goes, how long have I been in here? It's only been a month
or something. I can't remember. Yeah, so somehow it gets revealed. I honestly can't remember, like, but they basically, she hasn't been in there that long.
Right. And I thought that was cool. And then, so if you remember, so what happens is she tries to give him the powder, which is cool because naturally as a kid, they're clumsy. So she accidentally left some fingerprints on the cup and that's what he notices. And then she uses her power. And to me, that's when I was like, oh, okay, I think I get it. It's because she's like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to, she's throwing a fit. Essentially, that's what it is. It's just a fit. But her powers are activated because she's mad. Or whatever. So anyways, so they leave to go to that diner, right? And this is why I said stab someone in the eye. It's because that's whenever, like, they do the blood thing, which I thought was a cool way of finding out who's a freak. I don't get why the grandpa didn't have the bloodstain eye, though.
I don't know either. But you should, like, kind of, like, give some context into the eyes bleeding. Like...
Yeah, so what happens is when they use their power or like a certain amount of power, a teardrop comes out, but it's like a blood teardrop. And it's cool cuz I think the first person we see it on is the dad. He has one coming out. And even whenever I kind of clicked things, I was like, why are his eyes bleeding? And then I realized, "Oh, he's been using his power the whole time." But yeah, their eyes bleed. And so they use one of those like black lights to shine it on their eyes and sit in like, oh, your eyes are bleeding, then you're a freak.
Yeah. It's really cool. Like, it's a cool little plot device thing or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's like a technology thing. Like, they just like use to identify and find really out if practical. You're a freak. Real quick, it's just to like brush, like look over your eyes and see like if there's a stain.
Yeah. From, I thought that was pretty cool too. I appreciated that because, I mean, yeah, if that was the giveaway, you'd wipe it off and you'd think you're safe, but you just get one of those black lights and it's either blood or urine.
Yeah, or another bodily fluid that we won't mention on this show.
Yeah, another bodily fluid. But
so basically, yeah. Okay, inside the time bubble, the dad and the little girl, his daughter... have grown up 7 years because he's been slowing down time. That way they can just hide out and not be found. You know what I'm saying? Cause like the longer that they keep time slowed down, it almost freezes time. And
right.
But they're like inside the time bubble, they're getting older, But in real life, it's only been a month since his wife was taken into this high security prison. And
I gotta admit, Jack Black did a really good part, did a really good job on his role.
Jack Black?
Yeah.
It's funny, someone else, he does look like Jack Black, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think he looks like Jack Black. I couldn't look at him with them without thinking of
Jack Black. Oh my gosh.
That was really cool, the whole time stopping thing, once you find out that that's what he's been doing.
And so
and then when you realize that the mom is not a ghost, she's like her mom, that was a cool reveal too.
It's interesting because I think that you don't realize at the beginning, because it's almost kind of like I was saying, it's almost like it feels like hallucinations, you're not sure if it's real. But I think the second time around, whenever I watched it, was I feel like whenever she was like having like an emotional, like a strong feelings of emotion, she was able to like project her power. So I think that like when she was really like missing her mom, that's whenever like she would like astral project like into her mom being in the same room as her.
Right.
Or if she was like wanting to have friends, because obviously like she's really a lonely girl, you know, she's never had any contact with the outside world. Her only human contact is her dad, you know what I'm saying? And like, you know, you can,
and I'm surprised she's not crazier than what she is, because I think that would make anyone crazy. I mean, we're recording during COVID quarantine right now, and I'm pretty sure it's driven several people I know crazy already.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but no, I think this was a fantastic film. I just want to point out, like, once we get to the end, that's when I realized like her grandpa had powers too, because I didn't think of it that the whole time until they showed us. And then, that whole scene to get her mom out of the prison she's in, I thought that was pretty cool. Like it brought the pieces well back together. I'm trying to think of the ending, because I think the ending I didn't like as much, but I don't think I hated it.
Yeah. Like how, well, I guess to totally spoil it, her dad dies and they break her mom out of the prison that she was in.
Wait, her dad dies?
He basically like, they fire a missile into the house to destroy them. To kill...
I don't think he didn't die, man. No, but I think he was dying already. I do think that. I do have that
theory. No, dude.
Because he had that
wound. He definitely died.
He starts coughing up blood, right?
He died.
But he was already
dying. He was more...
Remember, I think he was already dying from that wound to his side.
He got shot twice in the film. At first, like, kind of at the beginning, like, he gets shot, but, like, it's more of, like, a grazing wound, but still kind of, like, a bad wound. But then... he gets shot for real again. Whenever like this, and then like the, like, you know, he's already like basically like dying, but like he uses like his powers one last time to like create like a time bubble around the house again, as the missile's coming through the roof. Because like at that point in the movie, there's policemen and like, they're basically like have been discovered that like these freaks are living at this house, and they're all like coming in. They dropped an airstrike and they're like all about to like, you know, they're like got the orders to drop like a missile onto the house.
Yeah. Which I think that too, like, to me seems pretty, I mean, obviously it's sci-fi film, but to me that seems pretty realistic. It would be the smarter move to destroy the whole house instead of sending more men and more men and more men.
Yeah. Cause that, like, they resort to that because that's how powerful they are. So they use like the most, like, you know, they don't play around, basically. I guess they've had too many, like, experiences with these freaks and seen their powers. There's actually, like, a TV program, and it says, like, on the TV, Remembering Dallas. I guess they, like, destroyed all of Dallas.
Yeah, it's all blown up. Yeah. And I'm guessing, so I think what happened was, like, the freaks were like, you know what, we're tired of being treated like freaks. And so they started retaliation, and it did not go well for anyone.
Another thing that they say is, like, in the movie, they say that the freaks get powerful, more powerful with each power passing generation. Basically the three main characters in the movie, there's four main characters, the dad, the mom who's locked up, the grandpa, and the little girl. And so they all have, like, well, they all seem to have, like, some type of unique power. The dad is able to, like, create time bubbles. The grandpa goes invisible, and the little girl can literally, like, control people's minds and make them do things.
Yeah, hers is super interesting. Yeah. Yeah, hers is, I think, the scariest one, and it's interesting because I thought it was going to be, like, Xavier's power, but it's not even a little bit or a lot, but it's similar. In the way that, like, I don't know, man. I just thought her power was cool.
Yeah. It's just like the movie really makes you think that it's going to be like this kind of scary movie, like with all the stuff that kind of happens at the beginning. Yeah. You can't really make sense of it. You're not sure if it's real. And then, like, the plot just slowly unfolds. And then, like, I'm just like, at one point, I'm just like, I don't know where this movie's going. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It did that a lot. At first, I thought it was going to be a horror film because the girl and the lady in the closet, like, yelling. I was like, oh, okay, so it's a scary movie. But then that didn't happen. I was like, oh, okay, so it's about, like, kidnapping. And that didn't happen. So I was like, I don't know. But I'm enjoying the ride. So I'm going to wait to see what happens. Yeah, and I like that they did that, too. Like, it wasn't up front. It was, I think, it seems like maybe, as a girl started learning more about the world, we did too. I think that's how it seemed.
That's a good, like, I think that's a good, like, way to put it. It's pretty much the truth too, you know? Yeah, that is true. That is true.
And I think I appreciate that that's how it was. Like, because at the end, like, we know who's who, right? What she calls them, what, the wolf guys, what does she call the bad guys?
Yeah, like, the dad tells them, like, there's bad people out there, they're all bad men. I guess, like, they call, like, policemen wolves, or I don't even know if they're policemen or, like, a special task force to deal with the freaks. But yeah,
right. Yeah. And I like that by the end we were caught up, and now we're rooting, like, okay, come on girl, come on little girl.
Yeah, it for sure. And it's, I thought, like, beginning, so middle, and end, I loved. Like, I enjoyed it throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
they definitely found a way to bring tension in each part.
And the reason they do that is because they tell the story in a very good way, like a clever way. You know, it could have, like, a movie like this could easily have came off as corny or badly done.
Yeah.
But they handled it so well.
Yeah. Like, what was it? Wolverine Origins, I think?
Just, yeah, like, there's, like, probably more. Yeah, Wolverine Origins. It's, like, all, like, it's, like, cringeworthy, yeah. And they, like, try to be funny, and then they don't even know, like, what they want to do.
Yeah, this was more like Logan, but without the, well, it would be the word, without the benefit of the audience already knowing the world. And so it put it in a tougher spot. But yeah, I think all the tension that they created in the first, middle, and end was earned. Like, it didn't feel fake. I do think the dad could have avoided a lot of situations had he told her from the beginning what was going on. Like, that would have, I think, eased a lot. But, like, I guess, I don't know. I can't justify why he didn't tell the little girl.
He wanted to, like, protect her, and he wanted to make sure that she wouldn't go outside because he knew that she would be hunted and either imprisoned or killed because she's a freak. And so he...
Yeah, but I just think, like, that's the only beef that I had with it was, I think that had he told her from the beginning, like, hey, you probably have powers because your mom and I have powers. So if people find out you have powers, they're going to put a bullet between your eyes. That, I think that could have, like, helped a lot.
Yeah. I think you're right, actually. He probably could have found a way to just be honest with her about it.
Yeah, but I think if you look past that,
yeah,
everything else, I think, was...
He even goes as far as to say, like, because she sees the ice cream truck out there at the beginning of the movie, and she's like, I want ice cream. And he's like, you know what they put in those ice cream trucks? Dead kid bodies.
Yeah.
It's like trying to, like, rule by fear, and, you know, she ends up, like...
Oh, that's a good one. Yes. Because, look, that's awesome. So, you're right. He's trying to rule by fear, and the government is trying to do the same thing. They want the freaks to be afraid of them, and that's how you control the freaks. The dad wants her to be afraid of the world, and that's how he controls her. Dang, that was a good connection. So maybe that's why they did that. Maybe that's why he was lying to her, manipulating her, because he was a reflection of what he didn't like, the world.
Interesting. Interesting. I see.
Yeah, that was a good point there, Jeff. That was an awesome connection. I think that's what they were going for, and I think that they did a good job. So let's go ahead and wrap up the film wrap. Final thoughts about the film.
Let's see. Okay, I'm just gonna go through the list of things that I didn't like about it real quick that I wrote down. Just a couple bullet points. It'll be quick. Overall, the acting was good, but I think that the weakling performance was the dad, Emil Hirsch. I didn't think he was bad, but I think that there was like times like, I don't know. I wasn't totally convinced at certain points. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Another thing I wrote was...
Oh, you mean Jack Black? Yeah.
Some of the CGI / special effects were noticeable and looked kind of fake / obvious, which makes sense because it was like a low budget movie. It doesn't take you out, but like I think that some of it looked fake.
Yeah.
Some of the fast moving action looked sort of uncinematic. Like I don't know what it was, if it was like the cameras they used, but some of like the times like whenever like the guy's like beating up dudes in that cave while the mom's escaping, it like the fast movement, like it just didn't look like very cinematic to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because there was a part where I thought maybe they sped up the film. I just don't know if it was that part or not.
I think it's sort of like they shot on digital or something like that. I don't know if they had like super expensive like cameras or I don't know. I don't know the technical aspects of that side of things. Do you have anything like negatives?
Negative. I mean, the big one for me was that him lying to the little girl for such a long time, and no one noticing that the house was in ruin, which kind of made sense because he stopped time, right? So that part, like, yeah. Are there negative things that I didn't really like? Oh man, it's because the only one that really like had me was him lying to her. I would say that performance-wise, the neighbors that they had, that they didn't. I think the mom. There's a reason why the mom had more lines. The little girls and the other one, like if I'm having a sleepover and I see this neighbor kid somehow in my room, the first thing that I'm gonna do is tell my parents, like, hey, what happened? Like, that's not something no one talks about, and they made it seem like no one ever talked about it. It was like things like that. They do things like that where, like, what little kid isn't going to say, hey, mom, so remember last night at my sleepover, my slumber party, why'd you let the neighbor kid come in the house? She wasn't invited.
Interesting.
I don't know, honey. I didn't, you know, like they just kind of glossed over it. But
that's
true. I think the reason why it's hard to notice is because you're having so much fun.
It's definitely true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And what I did like was the cheap special effects.
Yeah.
So I liked it because it was an indie film. It seems like an indie film, and it wasn't trying to be something it wasn't. So they used some like a mixture of practical effects. A lot of the times when he disappears, it looks like the camera's like still, and they just like mount the images, which is a cheap, fast way of doing that effect. And then what was it, like the cup and the blood are the two slowed down ones that you see. They were bad, but it was expected, and they did so few special effects that it was like, okay, yeah, whatever. You gotta work with what you have.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not easy to make a sci-fi movie on a low budget, because the nature of sci-fi movies almost demand some sort of special effects, you know?
Yeah, but I think the reason why I appreciated them, like, not dumping, because they could have easily dumped their budget on the special effects, and then the rest of the movie just, like, whatever, right? But I think, I hope, anyways, what happened was they dumped their budget on making sure that the scenes were fluent, they had a good producer, like everything, the whole story was good as a whole. And so when it came to the special effects, they were like, well, this is what we have, so let's make it work. And I'd rather have that. I'd rather have a really good story and crappy special effects than good special effects and a crappy story.
Absolutely. That's what makes the movie so good, is it's just the story is damn good and they tell it so well.
Yeah, like the example that I'm going to think of right off bat, which I think is similar, would be the newest Marvel movie where they all come together, Endgame. The special effects in that one, I mean, I have no complaints. They were really good. But then they make this time warp thing out of nowhere. And then you come to find out that you can't, it's like different universes. But then again, what's his name? Captain America never comes back to the portal, but he's there as an old man. Like they just gave up at that point, it seems like. And it looks like this movie didn't. They were like, okay, this is the best we can do. You know what? Let's do it. And because the story was so good, I could forgive them for the special effects.
Yeah. But, you know, like, you know, if you're going to review a movie, you got to, like, kind of look at all aspects, you know, including special effects and cinematography, those types of things.
Right. I'm not saying they're good special effects. I'm saying I liked that they weren't good.
Yeah.
They were bad. It's not a good point for them. It just didn't bother me because I liked everything else except for him lying to the daughter.
Yeah. Oh. Well,
So what rating would you give this?
Okay.
Before we close this out.
I am going to give this movie an 8.5 out of 10.
All right. I think for me... I think I'm going to say 7. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower. I need to watch it again now that I know. But the first viewing was so good that it's hard to give it anything less than a 7. I just don't know. Because you pointed out the special effects, and you might be right, maybe they were more obvious than I remember, that it might be lower. And the dad's acting as well, because I thought it was Jack Black. But from what I remember, I think a 7 is where I'm going to stay. I think if you haven't seen this film, we already spoiled it for you. It's going to suck watching it, but you should definitely watch it because it's still worth a watch.
Yeah, it's a good movie. And, you know, even the second time around, it's really cool seeing a movie like this. And then you get something, you get like a totally different viewing whenever you know the mystery of it. And that's why I love mystery movies. Because like the first time's like a ride, the second time you're like, oh, they were calling to that and I didn't realize it. And so man, yeah, like I gave this, I think it's a very solid movie. I think that it rightfully gets a high rating in my eyes. I thought you would give it a little bit higher rating. 7's still good though.
Yeah, I think generally my ratings are pretty low. I think for me, 7's pretty high.
Set the bar high.
It's just, yeah, it's this movie set the bar high for me because it's such an enjoyable movie. It was fun. I enjoyed watching it.
I said,
it's this kind of movie I'd tell someone else to watch it.
Now, your reviews, your score, you must set the bar pretty high because you seem to have liked this film a lot, but still gave it.
I did like it a lot. Yeah, but it has its flaws. If the lying thing was, man, that to me is what
it's too much for you, like, or like it's like kind of like,
yeah,
a big,
it just feels so lazy,
logical flaw.
Yeah, I just can't do that. But I think they did such a good part with everything else, it would be unfair to bring them a different score.
I think that you gotta watch it again because I think that he was pretty honest about a lot of things. You just gotta kind of like see like but he definitely did not disclose to his daughter the nature of her powers and all that. And
maybe I should probably watch it again, and then I'll if there's an update, I'll give an update on the next show. So why don't you go ahead and close this out, man?
Well, hey, man, I think that was a good first episode. We are going to watch another movie, and I don't know what it's going to be yet. Dan and I will discuss it. I had fun talking to you, and this was, I think, a good first episode. We tried one attempt. Do you want to tell them the movie that failed. We watched real quick? What was it? We tried to do this one time, but once before with a different movie, but the audio quality just wasn't up to par. We recorded on iPhones.
Yeah, hopefully we fixed that issue. Yeah. Please leave us some comments. Maybe recommend a movie for us to watch. And hopefully we'll see you guys back soon.
All right. And that was the Film Ride Podcast. We will talk to you guys next time. Later.